Hi, this is Jay Nemro. You're listening to The Life Autistic, and this is episode number 707. I'm not going to talk about planes because, frankly, I don't know a lot about planes, so there's really no point getting into it. There was a Boeing 707. It was all of a thing back in the early 70s. When my dad was fixing planes, I suppose. Or even earlier than that. I guess back in the late 60s. Anyway, so, this is really sad. I had this thing working. This is actually my second try at episode 707. And I was talking, and I didn't really have a topic to talk about, but then all of a sudden one kind of manifested itself. And so I'm going to go ahead and try to talk about that again. I thought I was going in a pretty interesting direction. I hope it works well for you. It's about portrayals of Zenith, of autistics, ADHD people. I know a little bit about this. I'm not ADHD myself. I have two sons that are borderline cuspy. I love how you run into diagnosticians that absolutely refuse to give your child a real diagnosis. You know, they'll say, well, they really sound like this, but we don't feel comfortable in giving them that diagnosis. It's like, the only problem is, you know, your kid gets treated like crap. See, I'm coming right back around to school. I was at schools before on the first version of this thing. And the way schools really screw up things, they're so demanding of what you have to be, what you have to do, the way you have to behave, that you really end up kind of spending a lot of time appeasing school. Anyway, you know, I might as well just go in that direction. It's going to end up there anyway. So I guess it's not going to be about portrayals of autistics in movies and TV and whatever, because frankly, I don't really get into that very much. I don't really go and search out movies and things like that, because most of them are a little on the sick side and are, you know, are really hard R's. I don't tend to watch hard R's. And so I you know, I'm not going to get into that. It's not terribly, you know, I don't have much to say about portrayals of these guys in movies because I don't really see portrayals of these people in movies particularly. Anyway, might as well just talk about what happens with school. Schools are little social pressure cookers. And the institution of school and those who run schools, teachers and administrators, some of them might see the problem here and say, wait, this is a bad thing. But most of them don't. They see it as actually one of the good things that school does, toughening you up for your future life in a hard bit world. And that's really disparaging to people who are aliens, to Zenith, to people like me, people like my kids especially. I got through school. I think I spent my time ignoring school. But when I look back upon it, I start seeing scars. I start seeing the fact that I have a lot of troubles that were, as far as I'm aware of, a direct result of of not being of school. It's kind of, you know, school is an interesting animal. Everybody, locals look at it as an amazingly wonderful thing that just has a few problems that need to be tweaked. You know, oh, you know, isn't it wonderful that there's a place we can go to and we get knowledge and we get certification or whatever, and it, but for the Zenus, it's a torture chamber. Honestly. If there's a place that specifically just kind of tells you, you know, hey, you're unacceptable, hey, you're, you know, the kind of person that you are isn't acceptable to the rest of society, you need to change, and we're going to put this institution into action to make you change by whatever means we need to, and usually they're torturous. You know, it's like, oh no, teachers are wonderful, and you go, I know they think they are. I know they try to be. But they are the great high priests and priestesses of our culture. Or, well, not really high priests and priestesses. They are the low-level enforcers of our culture. And they often, with good intents in their hearts, they really want to help you. Knowing that society needs you to act a certain way, that you must fit in. You must fit in, or else your life's going to go badly. And that's true, but it's not something that needs to be honored and respected, you know. It would be great if culture changed and said, you don't have to be this way anymore. And one knows they're trying to do something good, you know. We're trying to make your life better, don't you understand? You know, you need to really fit in. And we can't. And to try to force us to destroys us. You know, I'm somewhat of a shell-shocked person. I don't like being around other people who were well acculturated by, in their childhoods, by school. And of course, parents get into the act too. You know, don't you have to fit in, you have to fit in. My parents were, I think my parents were really bad about it, but it was really obvious that when I was doing things that school didn't like or that school felt like they needed to say something to my parents about, you know, in our culture it's a really big thing, you know, and people decry the fact that parents aren't respecting school enough. You know, everybody, the generation before, like, say, me, for instance, my parents' generation, I guess, maybe a little bit past that, were always about, boy, if I ever heard that your teacher was unhappy with how you were behaving in school or your progress in school, you know, you better hope that they paddle you for it, and I don't hear about it, because if I hear about it, boy, I'm going to make your life miserable. You know, and people would say, oh, that was so good. Oh, you're such a wonderful parent. And schools and teachers, many teachers, you know, I don't want to call them a unified group, because they're not, are saddened by the fact that, you know, parents don't just walk in lockstep with the schools anymore. They just don't care anymore. They don't care about their kids' education. They don't care about how they're doing in school, you know. And it's like, you know what? For a Zenith, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Because school is definitely wanting to snuff out, to kill your Zenithness. And since it's built into you, they're interested in killing you. Or actually what happened to me, teaching you that the most important job you have to do in your life is to hide your uniqueness and to, you know, and to be, you know, to be somebody else. To look and act like everybody else. Even if it's play acting. Of course, that takes a lot of effort. That's a job that people get paid millions of dollars for when they're a good play actor. But Zenith people do it for free, as a free public service. I'm sorry, jerky locals. And that's the saddest thing of all. When I go back and I think about, and I don't, says I consider myself very fortunate. I've blocked out a lot of my childhood, and I don't know why, but I'm not going to pursue it. I'm not going to pursue it. Particularly. The things I'm talking about are just general feelings. You know, people say, well, you need to give us specific examples. And you go, you know what? Apparently it was so horrendous that I blocked it out. People say, well, tell us about when you went to high school. Tell us some things about that. And there really aren't very many. And they'll say, did you even go to school? And you go, if I did, I don't remember it. I blocked out most of my childhood, you know, and I used to think it was my parents, and maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. I don't know. But I don't want to harp on my experience except to say that I am very cognizant and I don't trust institutions, local institutions, to provide in any manner for the needs of Zenith people, especially children. Children are so impressionable. They're always eager, trying to please. I think I was trying. It was eager to please. They're so impressionable. And really don't want to kill off what could be the most wonderful, the most contributory attributes of Zenith. Like I said before, it's a horrible trade. It certainly isn't equitable at all. So that you can be a pathetic, you can look like a pathetic local that's always going to be, you know, chastised, laughed at, made to feel like you're terrible. I was just talking to my oldest daughter last night, and I could see it plainly. I could see it plainly right there. That this is a person that, because she's trying to fit in with society, that she's trying to find her place in this world, that she's sold her very soul, and what she's found out is that her soul is worth nothing. Because once she sold it, you know, and somebody said, oh no, do this instead, honey, you'll do better if you just behave like a normal person instead of being so weird. That doesn't do it, you know. She's still stuck in menial labor. She's still stuck in other things, and it's depressing because she sees other people like her around her that go and they go to college and they're still stuck in weird places. You know, where the trade-off didn't work well. I'd sold my soul, and I figured out that everybody around me is some demon who demanded that I give up myself, and they gave me all kinds of excuses of why it was really important, and they lied to me by saying that it was going to be in my best interest, that I was going to be happier, that, you know, I was going to have money and all those wonderful things that frankly most Zeniths really don't care about. When it gets right down to it, they really don't care about that. Even more, you know, people say, oh, well, you really shouldn't be driven by money. Well, guess what? Zenith people really are people that aren't driven particularly by money. And it's like, even a sorry third place they can't get. You know, oh, you just don't get it, do you? And it's like, why did I listen to those people? Those people are, you know... Those people don't know. Those people are just as stupid and just as misguided as I am. Why did I listen to them? Because they have a title, you know, administrator, teacher, things like that. And you're going, why do I listen to them? They don't have a clue. They're just doing what they're told to do. I think it's interesting. John Taylor Gatto, which is somebody that I have listened to and read extensively in the past. I don't know if he's gotten less popular, if he's just not being published very much. He's getting quite old, and I think he's ready to take whatever fame and fortune he's gotten together and just prepared to walk away from it. He talked about the whole... I lost my thought. Darn it. When I start explaining people's backgrounds, I lose the thought I had. You know, trying to be bibliographer, whatever. Trying to give you guys some background is always a mistake. I have to do it later. Okay. But he was the first one from which I heard the whole idea that teachers are actually the modern incarnation of what used to be called a pedagogue. And a pedagogue was a specialized slave, a trained slave that was supposed to educate people. And if you know any of the literature of the Middle Ages, for instance, kings and highly placed nobles always would have a tutor. It was basically a pedagogue. And this was by and large a person that had been sold into slavery, an intelligent person that had fallen on hard times in a day when falling upon hard times meant that you got sold. You know, you all of a sudden went from being a free person to being a slave, being property. And that was what you were. You were a specialized slave, and your price was higher because these nobles would buy you and put you to work on, you know, the nobles' kids, teaching them stuff that the nobles didn't even know. You know, you would come from an interesting place, have interesting experiences, and now you were somebody's slave. And that's basically what these people are. These people are basically specialized, governmental. We don't have slaves now, but they're the closest thing that we have to them. You know, we pay them enough money, and we give them such specialized training that has no analog anywhere else. You know, you can't take your teaching degree and do something else with it, really. You know. You're stuck teaching school. And that's a very powerful thing to make the school, you know, dominate your entire life. This is what my life's all about. I teach school. Interesting form of slavery that they're in. But, you know... Anyway, they are servants practically slaves to this kind of weird orthodoxy that spends more of its time trying to acculturate you to your place. You know, the masters of the universe don't go to public school, or if they do, they are treated much differently. You know, if your parent is of a higher socioeconomic class and they choose to send their kid to the public school, you know they're going to be treated differently. You know, they at first dibs at everything. The teachers can get pressured to make sure they get good grades. You know, that everything looks good. They are the presidents of the organizations because that's just what they are. And a whole lot of this is just acculturated. And if you talk to an honest teacher, they'll tell you, oh yes, that's true. You just learn to accept it. You know, you don't buck the system. If you buck the system, you find yourself out of it, and you're eating beans because you spent all these years getting a master's degree in education, which is totally worthless. Totally worthless. Anyplace else besides in a school. And I know that when I got my teaching certificate, it was the weirdest process I've ever been through. You know, I have changed jobs a lot in the past on a regular basis, usually every 2 years. This is really the first job I've had. I've had this job for now going on 4 years. And it's really great not to have to fret about what my next job is going to be. Because I'm always worried I'm going to be found out. And I think of the job I'm in now, you know, the thing I used to be worried about being found out about, the fact that I really couldn't pull off what they wanted to do, that I was just kind of going through the motions. That on this job, I really do have a good capability here, and I'm glad that they're not, you know. Anyway, so, it doesn't matter. When I went through that process for teacher, to get certified as a teacher, which was kind of funny because I had no credentials for teaching at all. I was going in as a vo-tech teacher for computers, and it had all kinds of things, you know. All kinds of questions, weird questions about if you'd ever been fired from a public school somewhere else, you know, stuff like that. And you could see that the process was much more interested in ferreting out how, if you had been in a public school, how you fared in that public school. That there was some kind of weird, how do you say it? It's almost like, well, it's not really hazing, but it really has to do with your relationship with the system. If you buck the system at all, and if your administrator decided to censure you for it, it showed on that record. And the ability to get blackballed by not just a school, but an entire school industry. And not just in your state. I mean worldwide. Well, not worldwide. In the United States. Other places have different criteria and you can usually slide through. But they always want to see your records from the last time you taught. It is becoming somewhat worldwide to say that you do that. And it's sick. I've always liked the private sector much better, or the outside of the education and school sector. I work for universities, and universities, at least because I'm a staff member as opposed to faculty, I do a whole lot better. Because because, you know, they look at me more as like the industry does. And my industry is all about, can you get the job done? And who cares about what else? You know, if you're a long-haired hippie that smokes dope all the time, who cares if you can fix computers and keep our network running, yada, yada, yada. You know, the real joy of being a support person is that it's all based upon what kind of support you can give. That's what keeps you going. So I do good support, so everything's okay. I'm fine. So, and it's really kind of sick, but see, when you get involved with those kinds of people who are working in those kinds of conditions, teachers, they, you know, you really do become a slave to whatever orthodoxy is coming out. I mean, you can complain and moan and groan about it, but you're going to do what you're told to do because your very life depends upon being obedient to this. You don't really have any choice, you know. And the people who can't deal with it, you know, they just kind of flop out of the system and go and do something else. The teachers who survive either come to terms with it or they never had a problem with it in the first place. I would say, boy, teaching is hard. And they go, yes, it is, but it's for different reasons than most people spout. It's dehumanizing. Most teachers have a real problem with humanity because it's been sucked out of them. It's part of the program. When you go to a teacher education college school, it really has very little to do with learning anything. You know, teachers are usually very poorly taught in their field. You know, if you say, oh, they're a math teacher, boy, they must be good at math. And you go, not really. It says because they really didn't take very many math courses. It was just, you know, they didn't have to. You know, they all say, oh, boy, I took math, it was hard. And you go, well, math is hard, period. Says, but you didn't have to take hard math classes. And I really don't want to sit here and denigrate people because people really, you know, it's very important for teachers that they feel like that they are experts at what they do. But you have to understand what they're really experts at. They're aspects of their chosen field. Most of their training was about the orthodoxy of schooling. You know, how you do these things. John Tarragato, I referred to him before, probably the reason why that he was so amazing as a teacher is, number one, he basically thumbed his nose at the system and told the system to get lost. And his training was in something completely different. And he was a person that could be just deathly honest. And he was a scrapper. He was a fighter. And I'm not. I'm not a scrapper or a fighter. I'm not going to fight for anything. If people don't see the logic of my arguments, if people don't agree with me, it's like, well, whatever. Okay. You know. Now, school teaches people to be that way. They don't teach people to be scrappers and fighters. That's what great people do, and they have to learn that somewhere else. School is made to make you into a good employee, which means you do what you're told, you find your place, and you're a good employee for your betters, you know. And your job isn't to fight, your job is to listen and do what you're told. And you know, and of course our society kind of feeds off of that. Large corporations where you have 10,000 workers, they're chattel. And you know, when people always say, oh yeah, well they let go of 10,000 people, this company let go of 10,000 people, and they let go of basically the chattel. And it doesn't matter, you know, it's just a mass of human resources. John Tarragato was also big about saying, if I hear somebody call people human resources one more time, I'll punch him in the nose, smack him in the mouth. Because it is. It's the dehumanizing of humans. It's saying that you're no different from anybody else. I can find any random person on the street, stick them in your place, in your job, and that's reality. You know, we send you to school to get certain skills, but, you know, any random person from any school could just have those skills. You know, they don't really want to know about you particularly. They want to, you know, they want to know your credentials. Do you have these certain certificates and stuff like that? I'm not deriding the fact of certificates or having degrees, stuff like that. But these things tend to dehumanize people. You'll find that in some, I thought it was really interesting. I went to a thing by some educational guru type guy. And that was the first thing he did. He was just such a dynamic person. And he would come up, he would say, "You don't know what my PhD is in. You don't even know if I have a PhD. But you know what? It doesn't matter. I'm here. People think I'm a pretty amazing guy. And that's all that matters." And you go, you know what? He's right. He didn't have to have his PhD, but he never told you what his PhD was in. For all I know, it was something totally off the wall. Who's to say? But you know, school doesn't teach you to be that way. School teaches you about, the only thing that's really important for you and what you should be selling your soul for and giving up the majority of your childhood for is to get little pieces of paper that say that you finished this class and you made this grade and you finished this class and you made this grade. And I found out that after my first job, it didn't really matter. No, it did matter because I was doing stuff that required the degree I got. My grades didn't matter. I think I did okay, but I certainly wasn't, you know, I didn't have the highest grades. In school, teach you, getting good grades is the most important thing, and you go, no, it's not. No, it's not. It might get you a scholarship when you go to college, but in college, you can, as long as you make straight C's, you're okay. Do you know that probably, you know, do you know the grades, the grade point average, the ACT scores, the SAT scores of your doctor, for instance? You don't. All you know is they've got a little thing that says they're a medical doctor. For all you know, they made C's all the way through and they barely made it through medical school. Does that excite you? But guess what? It doesn't matter. You can't know that, and they're certainly not going to tell you if they did. But, you know, it's just really interesting. As a Zenith who seeks to find greater purpose and in life, to find the underlying logic of all these things, you start seeing that there is no underlying logic. That this is mostly a house of cards that was created to make people feel good, to give people of high standing that really didn't deserve a high standing, to justify the fact that they had high standing. And that it filters down to us in a really funny way. I've always found that interesting. Anyway, this is Jay Nemiro. You're listening to Life Autistic. This is episode number 707. You know, have a great day.